to be able to, at the end of this two-day convention, to be able to bring some highlights to you and also to add some positive words that we can take away with us from the scriptures. I started with a theme which was going to be to basically to look at the breakup of the minor prophets, but it's been such a banquet of well-oiled dishes that I have never taken so many notes down. So I won't be going in alphabetical order, but I just wanted to say thank you to Brother Wolchek, who brought a very thought-provoking subject in terms of Noah and the warning, I think, for us, which is at Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. And here we have so in the day, I'm paraphrasing, so in the days of Noah, we will be the same as what we're going to have with our Lord's return. And Brother Wolchek really brought out some points, and what scriptures I'm going to bring out is from Romans chapter 8. But before we get to that, I think this talk has highlighted that all aspects of the Bible are just so beneficial. We can look over scriptures and think that we understand them. But the reality is that it's only the help of the Holy Spirit in which we have any chance of being able to uncover the deep things of God's Word. And as Brother David brought out, Brother Wolchek brought out, is the influence of demonic forces that are at play today. And when we think about the effect that the sons of the Most High that rebelled, they weren't just leaving their rightful place in heaven, but they wanted to set up their own system, their own order. And as was brought out, which I think is very succinct, is that they wanted to create a hybrid, which they did, that was going to live forever. And also, which I thought was extremely interesting, was the issue, which I suppose I've never really considered before, is why did our Heavenly Father destroy all the animals as well? But as Brother Wolchek brought out, at least food for thought, is that pollution, that contamination, may have also extended to the animals. So we see that in the world that we are in today is that those who have gone in the contrary direction to the plan of God is every aspect of life on this beautiful planet has been corrupted. And we see that the food source has been contaminated. We see plants that are infused with animal DNA or fish DNA. Now, we also see the tampering of the human genome. We see the rise of artificial intelligence. And we see recently that AI or artificial intelligence was given the status of a person, of consciousness. So I thought this was just remarkable. Just from the closing talk by Brother Wolchek, there is so much that we as Bible students have an opportunity to look at. And also I thought also the power of these Nephilim, the globalist corporations which are swallowing up all aspects of society, whether it is agriculture, whether it's education, whether it's construction, they are ruining the earth. And we know that our Heavenly Father Jehovah will not allow them to destroy the earth. And this is a hallmark of the which will be the time of trouble. So I just thought I'd sort of leave from my script a little bit and have a look at some of the absolutely outstanding discourses and presentations that we have. I can assure you that this has been the most uplifting two-day convention that I have ever been a part of. And to give you a little bit of a background story, this time of year, Brother Darren and Sister Melinda and so forth put forward all the hard work for the Nambour Convention. But obviously with the COVID pandemic that is afoot, those things, those plans have had to be put aside. But we're very grateful that Brother Greenhouse Darren invited this us to participate in this and to make this one of the most encouraging conventions I think any of us have ever been to. And on a side point, Brother Ray was telling me that we at times had well over 150 people of our brethren that were watching and participating by their love and support and prayers from, of course, the Philippines, the US, the UK, of course, Europe, here in Australia, New Zealand, and Poland, and we also had some trying to get on from Africa as well. So what a wonderful praise and declaration of our love for God's word that we wish to set aside the best part, which is our time to be able to be upbuilt spiritually. So what a blessing it has been for us. But I thought going back to the which developed, and this is something we say, it's quite amazing how there's an overruling. We're different people. We think differently. We see different aspects of our spiritual life, but yet a theme starts developing on its own, and the one of the minor prophets emerged. Now, what we see with the minor prophets, obviously we have the 12 books that make up the minor prophets, as was mentioned, they're not minor in significance. And as we see that these concise, books, these inspired words tie directly in to, fulfillment in terms of our Lord Jesus Christ and the conditions that will be, both in heaven and earth, when the full manifestation of Christ's reign will be felt. But an interesting point in these is that the apparent major prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah and Ezekiel is Isaiah has 66 chapters, Jeremiah has 52 chapters and Ezekiel has 48, but yet you could put all of the minor prophets, they wouldn't even take up or basically a fraction over 2/3 of the size of Isaiah. But as we have seen by the discourses, today and the presentation of the last 2 days, we could have had a week of discussions and considerations, and it wouldn't be enough. They're so jam-packed with spiritual gems. The themes that come out within these, the minor prophets that we see is a reoccurring theme, which is the same as for the church, which is the trial, the judgment, and the restoration. We see that the Heavenly Father will not tolerate those that are people after his name, in the case of Israel, that they're adultery. They're going away from pure worship. And every single time that the nation strayed, it provoked a very strong response in our Heavenly Father. He was driven to despair, but as we've learned, he doesn't just act out, he warns them. And so we saw with Hosea, for instance, that the Heavenly Father describes his relationship with the nation basically as a husband and a wife that was in an adulterous situation. But as we see the parallels in the Christian Greek scriptures, in Mark chapter 2:19 and 20, at Mark chapter 2, I should say 19 and 20, we see that, it is always, the Heavenly Father is always looking for the reconciliation. And this just happens over and over and over. And when we think of us as humans, if we have been slighted, and someone that we love and we trust has betrayed us and deeply betrayed us, I think most of us would say the idea of forgiving someone, begging them to come back and to forgive somebody completely is something almost not in our DNA. We often feel once bitten, twice shy. And that does make sense from a human perspective. But the point is that is not the behavior of the Heavenly Father. That is not the way that he treats the ones that he loves. We also had the example of Jonah. And Jonah is such a small book, but boy, is it cram-packed. Jonah is somebody that that has all of the movement and the texture of somebody that I suppose we see in ourselves at times. He is presumptuous to say, well, the commission you've given me, God, is it's too much. So I'm going the other way. I'm going to run away. And then once again, the Heavenly Father does not give up on Jonah, and he teaches him a lesson. And the question that was asked by Brother Walchek of why, in a sense, what was the purpose of all of this suffering? Well, I think Jonah encapsulates that. What was the purpose of Jonah being put into the belly of the fish? And that is something to wake up the senses, because the Heavenly Father searches our hearts. It's not in vain. He knows who we are. And with Jonah, he needed that. He needed that shock treatment to get him to understand that he could not rely on himself, but he had to rely on the Heavenly Father, and he does that. But in Jonah, which is something that is developed a little bit later on, this is a theme that goes through the convention, is that when he takes up the commission to go to Nineveh, he's fired up. And we can be like that. We can be fired up to think that we're right and this is the way it is, and if you don't do it our way, there's judgment coming. But you know what? We can't presume what or how the depth of God's mercy is for those who at the moment just seem like they could never take to Christ. They could never understand. Their behavior is unacceptable. But you know what? If they turn and humble themselves, you know what? They'll be accepted. But what did Jonah do? He was upset. Oh, I knew it. I knew you were going to, you were going to capitulate. You weren't really going to kill them all. Missing the point. Now, I'm going to jump across to our, we had so many outstanding talks. I'll go to Brother Greenhouse's talk in a minute. But I think one of the highlights for me was Brother Bob Goodman's talk. And that was God loves diversity. And what a blessing that was. What I took from it is that the Heavenly Father, Jehovah, loves science. He is the father of science. And that science is godly. When we think about the twisted world, what do people say? I don't believe in God because I believe in science. As if the creator of the universe that set all things in whatever order they are, as if we're not scientific, but Brother Bob Goodman really outlined for us the ability of us as human beings to be surrounded by diversity. And you know what that to me brings to us is that no matter who we are, you know what, we may think that we are different or unique, or there's something particularly nuanced about us. But you know what? The creator of all things, including the eye, and I wrote down the notes there on the eye, not just of humans and the spectrum that we can see, but those of other living creatures. And we had a look at that. We also looked at the audible. So I went through our senses and the diversity that we have in that. And to me, the parallel is that if the creator of sense and smell and taste has put all of that in, not just for our enjoyment, but he has done that because he is a God of diversity, how much so for different people that we meet and different backgrounds? And a warning could be that we do not judge people because of their background or their ethnic background or the religion that they may be practicing at the moment. That doesn't mean that they can't accept God's word, or that some people are more inclined to the message of Christ than others. We shouldn't judge. That's not for us, because the Heavenly Father loves diversity. He's a God that is diverse. And I thought that was also went into the subatomic particles. And I thought that was amazing, that whether we're looking out to the stars or right down into the atoms, we see the working of our Heavenly Father. We see that. And this shows that our God is not one dimensional. And I think of the promises that are held for us in Revelation, when heavenly Jerusalem will be coming down, and the blessings to all of mankind we cannot even imagine for those that are going to be on the earth, what blessings and what things that they will invent. Yes, invent, and the use of science. They, you know, we have no idea of what humanity, with the blessings from Christ, is going to be able to produce in those perfect conditions on earth. It's going to be unbelievable. So I thought that was extremely, extremely encouraging. And Brother Darren's opening talk, I thought, was incredible too, on dealing with the secrets that we have. Often we speak to people, talking just cannot be, they can't comprehend. But Brother Darren developed, Brother Greenhouse developed the point that that really it's the eyes of perception, and that these deep things are really for us. What a privilege that is. How encouraging that is, that we get the opportunity to be able to know these things, to know God's plan, and also to know that all scripture is inspired. What we saw repeated over through the convention was the scripture there in 2 Timothy 3, that clearly that all of the Bible is inspired, and it is beneficial. It is something that sustains us. And when you think of the pressures that we are under, we've got all of the pressures that anybody has, our neighbors have. You know, the financial issues, the pandemic situation, political upheaval, corruption, big business, you know, environmental issues that is going on. And in the conversations during the break, we were talking about how we're dealing with the changes in the environment that we're seeing. So the point is that we face all of that, but yet we have the fight of our lives to keep in that footstep followers of Christ, to bear the cross, to be able to allow ourselves to be molded into the new creatures. I thought that was just incredible. I'm going to jump across to Brother Robert Brand, who also gave once again, incredible talk on, well, it was called Come and See. And we learned so much just on the issue of Nathanael. And we discussed that once again. We're looking at the scriptures, just that we don't know much about Nathanael at all. But what we do know is that it shows that us as cross bearers are honest people. And we learnt that Nathanael was honest and no guile was found in him. So to put it this way, he wasn't a politician. And when Nathanael says, in John chapter 7, verses 50 to 52, he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So we really developed that we looked at Brother Brand brought out to us, which was food for thought. We can just look at a passage where Christ said, you know, I saw you when you were sitting underneath the fig tree. And we looked at that. And this is so important that the fig tree, it could mean, as it was, to look deep into God's word, whether it was the Torah or, in our case, the entire Bible as we have it today. Are we people that are caught up meditating on God's word, the Bible? Is that what our Lord sees? Because if we are, guess what? We can be taught. We can be helped by the Spirit. We can be molded. If we are not under the figurative fig tree, well, where are we? We're not in sync with the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was really, really encouraging. And then also, which was, maybe it's not a new point for others, but what was really, really interesting was the segue between John chapter 7, I should say, but then going into Genesis chapter 28, 10 through to 17 with Jacob's dream. Okay, so Jesus gives the example to Nathanael that of the ascending and the descending, that of Jacob, because he said to him, Jesus said of Nathanael, he's a Jew, he's a person of the same ilk as Jacob, but you're going to see more than that. You're going to see more wonders than what, and understand more than what Jacob did. What an amazing thing. And that's just from a tiny portion of scripture. How exciting, how amazing that we get to dig deep just into one passage. So I thought that was just so important for us. Now, going back to the minor prophets, what we see is that the nation would turn to the Heavenly Father when things were just absolutely shocking. They're on their last legs, and they'll be saved. They would be rescued from their oppressors, and then as soon as they got comfortable, they turned back to their old ways, and they went back to a lazy, materialistic world. And I think the idolatry, to me, and I might be wrong on this, was to broadcast to the wider, or the nations about, a form of interfaith movement. Okay, that they were trying to not offend the nations about, because obviously if they were doing well financially as a nation, they were trading with them. So to me, I see that we can ask ourselves, I can ask myself, what am I willing to compromise in my principles to gain financial wealth or security in this system? What am I willing to do? How is my behavior to fit in? So I see that, and at that moment we excite the Heavenly Father to jealousy. What a situation. We're chosen. We've been chosen from the founding of the world. So it's a very serious thing. And we see that this repeats over and over and over. And as we jump forward to the time of trouble for Jacob, they have, as has been brought out, Israel now, the state of Palestine now, they're not interested. Corrupt, following money, big tech industries, extremely connected, politically. They're relying on their alliances to save them. They get billions of dollars from certain nations around the world for their defense. Are they relying on the Heavenly Father? Not at all. We see that many of their countrymen and women are very extremely prominent business people and are completely hooked in to the satanic matrix that we have at the moment. So they're at that state again, probably the lowest point that they've ever been. So they, at the time of trouble has been brought out, they're going to, boy, oh boy, are they going to be sorely tested until they wake up and realize where their security lies. And that's a parallel for us. We've got to make sure that we don't get to that point that we have abandoned pure worship. And we're relying on money or friends or connections or so forth for our security. And that's a challenge because we live in a system that, is all about materialism. It's the religion, as people say. People don't go to churches anymore. They go to the cathedrals, of the shopping centers. And I know when we were visiting, Melbourne, they have the Chatsworth shopping center. It's an amazing, cathedral to materialism. Okay. So we're bombarded by this, where everything that we face is trying to get us to compromise our faith in every single way. And we don't want to incite jealousy, from the Heavenly Father. I also thought that, Brother Colin Giles' talk on Habakkuk was also extremely powerful. And once again, the relationship that we have to Jehovah God and the amount of times that Brother Giles mentioned Jehovah in his talk was certainly outstanding. So the scripture I would like to bring your mind to as we go through, I'd like you to turn with me, and I'm going to read this chapter because if anything, I want this to be upbuilding for all of us, and I want us to focus on who we are, what we face, and what our hope is. So I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and I'll just Romans chapter 8, and I'll just read this chapter. It says here, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. For those who are of the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ in you, though the body be in, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also to life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwelleth in you. So then, brethren, you are under obligation not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we are crying out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of his sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers and pains of childbirth together now. Not only this, but also we ourselves, having being the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And what we know, God causes all things to work together for good to those who are according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who does not spare his own son, but delivers him up for us all, how he will not also, he will also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God elect? Who is the one who justifies? Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus. He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you very much. I hope that what I have said is of encouragement, and thank you to all of the brethren for your wonderful talks, and may the Heavenly Father be with us, and please forgive me if I have made any errors. I hand back to Brother Greenhouse. Thank you.